Where is TIE Fighter? It's been 11 freaking years. It's time for a new one.
Yeah, you want to know where TIE Fighter went? I'll tell you where TIE Fighter went. TIE Fighter went into the Star Wars EQ ripoff MO.
Oh my God, you're right. It went into Galaxies Online.
Now you have Pod Racer. Who needs TIE Fighter when you have Pod Racer?
Oh, don't make me kick you in the face.
I'd kick me in the face if I believed it. All right, we're going to talk about for this bonus episode good games. We're talking video games this time. This is not role-playing games. Good video games that disappeared.
Good video game concepts.
The one I miss is a sandbox-style space sim. Mm-hmm. Games like Elite, Space Rogue, Wing Commander Privateer.
Yep. Oh, God. What was the one that was just around?
Did Wing Commander Privateer have Mark Hamill and John Rhys Davis?
No.
I don't care about it. I only won four.
Oh, yeah. That's an awesome game.
It was better than all the other Wing
Commanders. There was one recently that just... I can't think of... I don't know if it was the one that Bruce Campbell narrated.
Tachyon the Fringe.
No, that's not it then. It's not Free Space. It's
Freelancer?
Maybe... No.
That was the Microsoft one that came out.
That was the multiplayer space yoke and joystick.
No.
One. You had it, Adam. You had it.
That was a squinty eye that I don't know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, let's not talk about games we don't know what the name of, because we didn't spend the next 20 minutes here.
One game.
What happened? If you're out there and you're a game developer...
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell? We need a good sandbox space game.
Yeah.
And you know what we want in it, or I want in it? A spaceship is not an airplane. It does not accelerate to a top speed and decelerate to stop. When you pull the yoke up, it does not turn. I want Newtonian flight physics. I want vectored thrust.
Yep.
When I want to accelerate forward to be able to stop, turn my ship around the other direction with momentum still carrying me the same way.
You know what I wish they had?
They had that in Space Rogue.
Yeah, you know what I wish they had was I thought would make a great game. Now, you're not a fan of the series, but the Babylon 5 space simulator, because Babylon 5 had the Newtonian physics.
Right.
They had a plot, whether you think it's a good plot or a bad plot, they had this plot and character.
I wasn't a big fan of Harlan Ellison, but
Straczynski
stuff was okay.
That's beside the point.
Right.
It had different races, it had different ships, different design philosophies in the different ships.
I gotta agree.
Space war.
I have to agree.
There were space stations. You could have done so much with it, and it was all Newtonian physics.
The CG was outdated, or it is now.
Well, it is now,
but I'll have to say that for me, I was not a big Babylon 5 fan, but the highlights of it for me was if there was ever a big space battle, because my brother was a real avid watcher, if there was ever a space battle and he told me about it, I would sit down for that episode because I love watching great big capital ships duke it out. And space opera is my number one genre.
Right.
And you know what? There's kind of a real void with that right now, both in terms of role-playing games and in terms of movies, there really are not any good space operas out there.
Well, we have Star Wars.
New
current Star Wars, though, game sucks.
Yeah, well, it does.
And, you know, I'm not even talking about Star Wars. I guess Star Wars is space opera. But, I mean, I like stuff like I was on Babylon 5 where, you know, you have great big warships duking it out, not fighters buzzing around and shooting vulnerable points.
I really don't consider Star Wars a space opera game anyway, because
I'm talking about the movies.
The movies were space opera.
I think there's a couple of space opera battles.
I hear you talking out your colon, Chad Wattler. Defend yourself.
I do not. I think that there was too much fantasy in Star Wars. There was magic.
Well, but
there
that doesn't
was
stop
knights,
from being
there was,
space opera.
No, it doesn't.
I think it does. I think that there wasn't enough focus on...
I mean, you could do a Spelljammer movie and it'd be space opera.
Oh. No, you did not just say that.
No.
You're off the show. There's the door. It's your house. You know
Let's
where it
cut
is.
A fear-the-boots Spelljammer movie with $15
hear me
budget.
Out. Hear me out. I said you could make a Spelljammer movie the same way you could eat someone else's vomit.
I did not say you should make a Spelljammer movie. Yes.
We're going to get some emails on that one.
Oh, God.
Boy, please, Spelljammer. What's wrong with you? You elitist bastards.
Third edition Spelljammer. You jerks on Fear the Pooches are so out of touch with the gaming community.
You elitist bastards.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, anyway, here's my theory on the demise of the... Of the good old space.
Well, real quick, let me get out of the way now. Here's my backpedal on the Spelljammer thing, just to get this out of the way.
Oh, my God. No, Spelljammer's awful.
Hold on. Here's the backpedal.
So I bought the box set at KB Toys for $2. Yes.
Here's the backpedal. I have never actually eaten someone else's vomit. Please continue.
Oh,
okay. All right, I'll play your game.
I had to clarify that.
Yeah.
I think
that our freelancers and our TIE fighters died when the console market took over what they were trying to do.
I see it.
But the consoles don't do it.
I know they don't do it, but they try to. Look consoles, at Star all console Wars games. Battlefront 2. I picked up BF2. I was like, all right, there's some space flight. This is going to be cool. It was pure console. It was purely designed to be played with an Xbox controller.
Well, I say the console games are usually made for two things. One, quick play sessions. And number two, limited game life. That you're going to play this for 2 hours at a time, and you're going to be done in 2 or 3 weeks. This is very different than the old computer games, where it assumed you're playing this for about 4 hours, 6 hours, and you may be playing this game
for months.
Yeah, or years. And that's... I miss games like that. And, I know there's some controversial views on Bethesda, and I don't want to dig into that, but I appreciate what they're bringing back with kind of the sandbox games. I wish they had a little more order than they do.
I play Eve.
Right.
And I'm kind of at a middle ground. I'm on the fence on whether or not I like it or don't like it. So I don't want to get into
soft.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Oblivion.
Oblivion, oh. Sea Dogs.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
Oblivion, Sea Dogs. And, you know, actually something else I really miss. Actually, I've never seen this in a game yet. I have never in my life, ever once, played a good space-based warship simulator. Where you don't fly with a joystick, the thing does not fly as if there's air resistance, where it ducks and dives and you know, banks and all that stuff. I'm talking one where you have this cow that has a massive crew where,
quarter of a mile long.
It's a quarter of a mile. It's a mile long. You turn left, and if you want to turn this ship 180 degrees, you're talking a 30-second, 60-second undertaking. It unleashes hellish barrages, and... when it comes to, you fight on the broadsides. You don't fight front to front. You fight on the broadsides. You roll the ships. I want something that really captures good, solid, believable warship combat.
And like space warship combat.
Space warships.
Yeah. Not naval 300 years ago.
Actually, that'd be pretty cool.
But although, kind of good than that. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, if you were to do that, that's kind of what I'd go with, is it's light. It would have the feel of... tall ships in space, that kind of crossing the T and rolling the broadsides and things like that. And I have never seen one, because every one I've ever played, you're either a fighter pilot or they put you in a quote unquote capital ship. And quite frankly, you're now in a quarter mile long fighter.
Right.
Yeah. You're in a fighter or you're
big offender
on a
that
gun
was,
there's a Star Trek game that was like that.
Yeah,
we
and
bought
also,
it because we're like, oh, Star Trek, and it's got the ships and the combat. Well, guess what? You had the viewport, and it was
you're yanking your joystick. Independence War, same thing. You were supposed to be in a small warship or medium-sized warship, and it was the same thing. I mean, you had a joystick, and you just... zipped and ducked around and this, that, and the other. I think, actually, that one may have had the Newtonian flight physics I want, but it was same types of problems.
Well, the thing is you're talking about a level of complexity that American game designers, and doubly so Asian game designers, don't want to give in their games. They want people to be able to pick up their game, plug it in, have it work, and sit through a 2-minute tutorial, and then you're going.
If
there's even a tutorial,
pull
in
the button and see what it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something, you know, thinking about it, older games that I think made them better was they did not... accessibility was not a to-do point.
Right. I agree. You needed to know 30 keys to play X-Wing.
There was,
not to be good at it, to play it, to know what you were doing.
Remember when games
used to come
out with fold-out cards and keyboard commands that you had
some
to
of them
set
had keyboard
next to it?
Overlays.
Yeah.
That was great.
There was back on the old Apple games, you would get some games where they had these full rubber or latex impressions of a keyboard that had all the keys marked, because there's only one keyboard, of course, because it's built into the CPU, like on an Apple IIc, and you would put this on top of your keyboard, and it would actually be labeled, so suddenly your L key no longer said L, it now said, whatever command.
They're doing that with LCD lights now. I don't know if you've seen that prototype, but they have, a polymorphic keyboard that can change out and become arrows instead of WASD and that sort of stuff.
No, that's kind of cool. I haven't seen that.
That is cool.
I did see there was a projected keyboard that that looked really cool. But
it looks cool.
It looks cool. I can't see it working well. When I type, I need a feedback. I need to press something. Tapping on the ground, and then your fingers would cover up half the keys, although you're not supposed to look at the keys anyway. I don't know. I don't like that idea.
It wigs me out, but they have them in Deus Ex, so that means they're good and right. I'm waiting on them.
The laser's red, not blue, though. So.
Well, how about we do this? How about we go around, and if you can think of a concept, expand on it.
For a video game?
Yep.
I told you.
What you want to see right now.
My ideal video game, I told you, if I could write one game, sandbox type space sim, where you pilot capital ships, realistic physics, realistic capital ships, huge open-ended. You really, really want to throw in that extra pimp feature. I would say also make it so you have the option of playing on a multiplayer LAN where friends can take over different bridge positions from the commander. I would actually even more love to see it as an MMO. Imagine if EVE, like, number one, was a more realistic sim engine.
And you didn't play a spaceship?
Well, yeah, you didn't. You played a person, not a spaceship, where you could get up and walk around the stations and RP with people.
That would be totally awesome, but as you mentioned earlier when we were having pork, what happens when the helmsman gets wife aggro right. and has to leave?
Well, okay, so that's what I'm saying, an option. Wife not a requirement, an option. I guess if I had to if I had to pin it down to a description.
So you want
to,
like...
Sea Dogs, if you remember the Best Stuff game, Sea Dogs in space is what I'm looking for.
And also as an option, are you saying that you want it to be an MMO or...
No, two separate ideas. I was blurring ideas together. You. I'd love to see an MMO.
It would be interesting to take a game like World of Warcraft or even EQ or something and flip a switch... And just, you're there by yourself, and you can flip switches and make yourself level 500, and you can give yourself all the gear, and you can just go around and do things. It doesn't carry over into your MO game, but, you know.
No, it's not. That's two separate realities. But the big thing I want to see, like I said, the Sea Dogs in space is what I'm looking for.
I want the unholy fusion of SimCity 2000, TIE Fighter, and Earthbound. I don't know how it's going to work.
work this out.
Maybe I'm Ness, the mayor of Tucson, and periodically I have to hop into my TIE Interceptor to defend it from X-Wings.
This sounds like a type of game that John Malone would buy. But
I would dream about it. Not dryly.
So, I can't even work that one out.
All right.
Oh, I can work it out.
Well... This is, I asked the question, and I actually hit somewhere I wanted to go with this. I am very disappointed because I feel this great build-up towards this ultimate, all-inclusive, climactic game that just was never there. The Command & Conquer series. Top-down, real-time strategy. They have taken it to the end of where they can take it. First-person shooters. They have taken that to the end of where they can take it.
And even
you want Command and Conquer Renegade, except you want it to be good.
Renegade, I want there to be a commander who builds the base.
They already have this.
Battlezone 2.
They have this.
In what?
There's a game out there, and I could be wrong on the name, but it's something like Savage, where it is an RTS, a real-time strategy game, where you have people that you can go into first person and play different first person roles on the battlefield.
Well, Adam,
I'm talking
they have this exact
multiplayer.
Game. It's not Savage, but there's another game that does the exact same thing multiplayer.
It's Adam, Natural Selection.
Adam wants.
It's a Half-Life mod.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah. You can play a Zergling.
Yes, you can. That's what I want. Only.
Adam wants Acronym the Game. He wants MMORPG, FPS, RTS with
FDE, fully destructible environment. Yep. That is what I want. They've gotten so close.
And am I the only one here who wants a game that isn't everything? I just want a game that hasn't been made yet. I mean, I don't want every... I don't need an FPS, RTS,
no, I need
sim
it all.
Type.
Yeah,
I don't need everything. I just need Earthbound.
I just need Deus Ex 1 again.
Deus Ex. Yeah, I just need another Deus Ex.
You take Sid Meier's Pirates or Sea Dogs...
Ooh, that's hot.
...and put it in capital ships in space. I'd have my game. That's all I'm after. It's a very doable game concept. No one's done it.
The ships in Sid Meier's Pirates are pretty nimble on the whole. Probably more so than your Star Destroyer. Now, yeah. There are some clunkers.
But see, you're on the right thing, though.
Yeah, they're on the right track.
You just adjust some turn
rates.
They're
more awkward than an X-Wing. I'll give you that.
You just manipulate some numbers in there, and you've got the right idea.
I need Mario Golf 2.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you went there. Now I'm jonesing for Mario Golf 2.
That's right.
What would you want in Mario Golf 2 that's not in the current one?
More courses. Arnold Palmer.
More courses. I mean, Mario Golf... Toadstool Tour had a lot of really good, had plenty of courses for the game, Adam and I played through all of them, played through the alternate versions of them, played them.
Okay, let me ask this. Is this, were there insufficient courses, or did you guys devour them?
No, okay. We devoured it.
Yeah.
We want Mario Golf 2 where we want, the characters are fine.
Yeah.
The differences between the characters were fine. There were min-maxed ones, there were, you know, balanced ones and all that. We talked about this, we really don't need things that were in Hot Shots. Like, we don't need different balls that have different physics. We don't need different clubs that have different physics.
Yeah, just...
What we need out of Mario Golf 2 is we need two things. We need more courses and more weird courses, and we need a mini golf course.
Yes.
I've played very few. They are out there, but I've played very few mini golf sims, so those are a lot of fun.
The putting simulation on Mario Golf is
wonderful.
Complex enough to be challenging, but not real enough to be irritating.
Yeah. As irritating as trying to putt is.
That's why we loved Mario Golf so much. We couldn't get anybody else in the group to like it except
the two
of us.
You got me on it.
And you don't have the passion.
I don't have the passion.
As an idle admirer.
We might have to do this tomorrow, dude. Anyway.
My days.
Anyway, what we loved about it is that it had the whole game had a complexity to it to make it realistic, to make it interesting, to make it challenging, yet it was accessible. You know, somebody can take the controls and they could play a game, but they had to play it a lot to be a master at it.
Speaking of you talking about there, I don't know why it brought this to mind. Do you remember back on the TurboGrafx or whatever it was?
Bonk's Adventure?
No, I don't.
I try and forget it every goddamn day.
No, not Bonk's Adventure. Do you remember they had a tennis RPG?
What?
Do you remember this? You played this.
There's a Korean golf MMO.
All right, here's how
the Korean...
The way it worked was it was off the shelf. The most generic feature was it was a tennis game.
Uh-huh.
You played tennis against somebody else. But it had an alternate play feature where you started out and you had, like, crappy shoes, a crappy racket, you weren't very good, and you went out into the world, and you would go around and do quests and earn money, and you get better shoes and better rackets. But instead of fighting, like, if somebody's like,
tennis.
You know, you want this, I'll fight you. It, like,
the
screen would chatter,
tennis.
And you go into a tennis match. Do you remember this?
I don't. But what I do remember are boxing ones that have an RPG element to it, where you could go train, you could buy better equipment.
Yes, I remember
this too. You win money at the bouts to buy better equipment to go train. And I mean, very limited because it was kind of that sort of thing. There were baseball games. Base Wars was like that.
Base Wars was great.
Base Wars was a wonderful game. And you earned money through the season, and you bought better robots and better guns
weapons,
and better weapons and stuff. Yeah. But I wouldn't really call that an RPG.
Does that game sound idiotic to just me, Adam?
No, it sounds idiotic to me, too.
Okay,
that's
good.
Because you people haven't played it.
Yes.
Base Wars is wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Okay.
Let me bring up something that I'm sure is going to spark a little debate here. Old BBS games. Falcon's Eye.
Legend of the Red Dragon
Lord.
Is my favorite.
I have played Legend of the Red Dragon.
You know, actually, when I was talking about my ultimate MMO earlier, spinning off of my capital ship idea, imagine Trade Wars with realistic physics, the ability to get out of your ship and walk around space stations. You have a character who has stats, but Trade Wars is kind of where I was coming from for an MMO idea.
Oh, my God. How would you feel about a Battletech MMO?
There was one.
I mean, but a modern one.
There was. They were working on one. No, they were working on one. It got scrapped.
That's a shame.
It made it into the early alphas or betas or something like that. There was a Battletech sim called something like 3025.
Year, baby.
And it was set in 3025.
Pre-clan. Oh.
Where you had like a certain amount of money and you could get hired out by mercenary corps and you go do missions. The only thing that bothered me was all very, very mech-based. There was not a lot of like get out of your mech and roleplay stuff. But it was like you kind of sat in a console and you had a mech and people could hire you and you could like get sent out on missions with them and then you'd make money and go buy better mechs and things like that. My only gripe, and of course it got scrapped, but my only gripe with it was the fact that Battletech is such a rich universe to only talk about the mechs, you're missing three quarters of the picture.
Yeah.
That what I really wanted was something where you were on a planet and you got trained and you could walk around the training facility and role play with people. And then there's a mech standing there. You climb up and get into, and then you go do missions and then you get out of your mech on the same spot. You want to go to another world? You walk your mech to the drop pad. You pay him so much money. You fly somewhere else.
And to comment on what I wanted Battletech MO, The answer is no. Because it would be based on the Whiz Kids modern world.
But let's say they did it right.
It was just awful.
No, this let's is just say, pipe dreaming. Let's say they did a 3025 mercenary.
Still no, because the next expansion would be the Clans, which would be the Battletech.
Crescent Hawk's Inception MMO.
Like Second Succession War?
I thought that was third.
Or third. But, yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking it's like way, way back. Yeah. Where, and they can guarantee me that the Clans aren't going to come and they're not going to screw up the
Chad,
whole universe.
This is your dream game.
Oh, my dream game?
You guarantee anything you like.
3025, babe.
There you go.
It's on. And then there's factions.
Uh-huh.
Each faction's the major houses. And then the next expansion that comes out, they're going to add the smaller factions like Comstar, Rasalhaeg Republic. Then the next expansion
well,
after
there
that.
There is no Rasalhaeg in though.
Space well. Finland.
Well,
there is no Space Finland in the third Succession War.
Well, anyway, periphery states and pirate bands and stuff.
See, that's what I want. So game
the whole thing would be PvP based, but there would be security things. Like there would be tons and tons and tons of stuff to do and a big economy. You can start a corporation, you could be part of the regular guard, you can do all this stuff, tons and tons of planets, and each patch they release has more planets on and more stuff to do, and you can go between the planets. And if you want a PvP, each planet has a security level.
Somebody make this game. I want a game where I roll up in a training facility, I can walk around, role play, do sims, take tests, eventually pass, get a small mech, take it where I want. Imagine Star Wars Galaxies for Battletech and not crappy.
But here's the thing, too, is that I would want, and this is going to be the hard part. All the other stuff's easy. It's just a matter of scale and doing it. Here's the hard part of what I want, and John and I have similar opinions on this. I want an interface for a fully graphical MO that lends itself to role playing.
Oh, God.
Because
don't rant too much, because this is a topic for the next podcast.
We're going to hold off on this because we can pontificate so bad.
My God.
And with that in mind, I would like to say that my Battletech wish game along this, not believing that the roleplay and graphics can be pulled off, sort of, would be for a Grand Theft Battle Mech type game. In fact, I would not object to playing Carl Johnson in 3025.
This mech is my constitutional
I'd
right.
I'll take that paper.
I'll take that C-bill.
Okie dokie.
All right, let's Steiner Street out.
No,
families.
No, I had someone else going with this, and now I can't remember because that just completely shattered
John, I gotta shake your hand. That's beautiful.
Mental
you got
stream
it, baby.
There.
We just shook hands.
That's right. Beautiful idea.
I don't remember.
Right. we floored him, John. That's awesome.
D&D MMO, because this is role-playing related.
Neverwinter Nights or D&D Online? No, thank you.
Why didn't D&D Online work?
I can't comment because I haven't played it. I can only talk about the things that I've heard and the things of other people who have played it.
Okay.
What I've heard about it that turns me off to the general idea is that there's like one town, that one town is the questing hub, everything you do is instanced, it is just dungeon crawl after dungeon crawl.
This is my complaint with most MMOs in general, is that I think they use the grinding fights, the repetitive tasks, as way too much of the world. Something I liked, UO had its problems. One of the things I liked about Ultima Online was the sheer variety of things you could do.
Totally and utterly agreed.
You could play a whole game where all you do is you literally have a flock of sheep and you work as a shepherd.
Herding was a skill and it gave you the title of shepherd.
And you can shear the sheep and then go back to your house and put the wool on a loom and make clothing and sell it. And
wow, that sounds...
Just
really
as my
boring.
Away message the other point. Day, I made a but useless people... UO character template. I think it had taste identification and herding and spirit speak and several other such skills. Do continue, Dan.
And here's the point. I mean, if you think that's boring, the point is there's that much to do.
Yeah.
Something else.
Exactly.
Where it's not like if you go into World of Warcraft or EQ or whatever, and you're like, you know, I really hate grinding out dungeons.
Sorry.
Your answer is log off.
Yeah.
You know, that's fishing.
Oh, I knew.
And that's what I think is wrong with D&D, is what makes D&D great. I mean, I realize the dungeon crawl is a big part of the...
It is dungeons.
And dragons.
And dragons.
So there should be dungeons and dragons. But my problem with it as a whole was the fact that there just wasn't enough to do. That you sit in a town, you go run the dungeon. You sit in a town, you go run the dungeon. And they didn't even really try to put anything in between.
Yeah. What do you think of the Warhammer MMO that's coming out?
I think it's But here's the, you know, people, Richard Garriott's a nut, but
who's Richard Garriott?
The guy that
Lord
did Ultima.
British.
Lord British.
Oh, his castle and his photo
shoots. Here's the thing. The guy has some
Lord.
The guy has some good points.
Yeah.
And he made the point very recently, said the problem is that games have stopped inventing.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
And I've seen this in all kinds of entertainment. For example, I've tried to get some writing done. And what I was told point blank by agents and publishers was, you send us something new, we might look at it, but we would rather, because we have corporations and marketing groups and such, if we know Harry Potter's hot right now, we're looking for things that fit that right. niche to ride its coattails. We don't want new.
That was something that Dawn was telling me, too, because she was on the Bain Publishing forums for a long right. time, and she was like, and Bain Publishing does military sci-fi. They're looking to get into, at that time travel romance. That's what they yeah. were accepting, and that's what
exactly.
they're publishing.
And yeah. that's the oh. and I've seen this a lot. This is the problem with music. You know, you come out with a formula, you go through the marketing channels, you succeed. You come out and do something new, you get scrapped.
Yeah, listen to Nickelback.
And the problem
yeah,
with
don't you're right, Chad.
This is the same problem with video games. That right now, you make something that looks like everything else, you just try to do it a little bit better. Well, here we're going to have Warhammer, which is effectively World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. We're just going to focus a lot more on PvP and a little less on PvE. But it's still the same damn game.
Yeah.
And
that's what a lot of reviewers were saying.
Wow, was what...
Whoa, you just cut out right there. I don't know what happened there.
No, we're still doing.
Oh. My headsets were loose.
loser.
You were just fine. I just couldn't hear you anymore.
But yeah, Warhammer was what WoW pilfered from anyway. So, I mean, like, we'll see if Warhammer can do a better Warhammer yeah. than WoW can.
I gotta say, I'm not. I mean, within all the MMOs that are all basically the same, you can pick your favorite. You can pick mm-hmm. your mix of PvE, PvP. You can pick sci-fi or fantasy. But all you're really getting is the same sandwich wrapped a different way. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see, and I know supposedly Richard Garriott's new game was a Tabula Rasa.
Tabula Rasa, yes.
Tabula Rasa is supposed to be a big breakthrough in that regard, and we'll see.
Is it a demo?
It yes. is, but he's supposedly saying that he wants to break away from a lot of the formula.
His fiction is going in a crazy new direction. It's not pseudo-token anymore.
So, we'll see. I mean, but I don't know. I'll wait and see. I have no opinion on it right now. Mm. But that's, I don't know. D&D Online, it's same formula as
I'm
everything else.
I'm waiting for
it's
Ultima Online
formula.
2. It's coming out in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, there's an ad for Ultima Online 2 on the back of my Ultima
yes,
9
is.
CD.
I've got the same friggin' case.
And you know what? What they had planned for Ultima Online 2 looked really cool, and then
yeah,
they scrapped
they
it
for... they had different time periods. They had time travel.
UXO or whatever, yeah, UOX what, or...
Or Ultima Origins Online or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, UX, UXO, and which looks terrible. So, there you have it. Anything else? Anyone got anything else that's making them mad or making them happy?
Yeah.
No.
The poor state of video game writing in America, pretty much.
Yeah. Stagnation irritates me.
And I'm not talking MMOs. I'm just talking American video games.
Yeah, you indie guys out there, you guys that are indie out there, while I appreciate big budget as much as the next man, I gotta say that I love you guys for a simple reason that I'm tired of the formulas.
Mm. No kidding, man. I will sacrifice the production value of a game
easily
if the content.
I'm tired of the formula.
Well, good example for me to plug is Spiderweb Software. I don't know if you guys have played their games. He does the Avernum series. He's a one man studio.
Huh.
His graphics sprite based could have been made in 1993, but they're rich games and they're good.
I don't care. I mean,
yeah.
For me, the greatest games I ever played were games like Wasteland. Games
good
that
story.
You could put Wasteland in front of me today and I don't care about the graphics. You know, I like the flashbang. Graphics and sound impress me as much as they do the next man, but it's not what I need in a game. I want substance. So
quite agreed.
Well, here's my theory on gaming. It's a very general overall Chad theory. It's like back in the day, there wasn't much in the way of graphics. The graphics were very easy, very slow, very low down.
So you had to make substance.
And so you had to make substance. You had to fill it in, and you had all this production that you had that you could put into story, characters, plot lines, plot points, making the game interesting. Well, the technology improved, the level of graphics went up, and with that, the amount of production you had
right.
went up. And guess what didn't change is the amount of production that you had to put into a game.
So now it's all...
So you shifted from the story and the writing to the graphics.
Yeah.
And what you got out of that were FPSs. Yeah, I love FPSs. I'm a huge Half-Life fan.
Right.
But guess what?
They're all the same
thing. You're shooting in the first person. Yeah. And
once again, it's just like MMOs.
Yeah.
You pick your favorite, but they're all the same.
Yeah.
RTSs, you can pick your favorite, but they're all the same.
My God, people. Screw the graphics. Give us back our stories
and complicated gameplay.
Yeah. Hey, baby, when you're ready to screw the graphics, I'll introduce you to my MUD. Offers on the table.
Well, have you? You know,
we were playing online text games when you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
Oh, eat my ass. I'm still playing them.
And I told you the reason I can't play your game, otherwise I would. And I think it's valid.
What is your reason you can't play his game?
I have a learning disability in spelling.
Oh, and you can't type.
And that's I can't type.
A text parser would be a big old frustration.
Yeah, it would. And this is a text-based role-playing game where you type out your emotes and everything. And basically, I could be playing the king, philosopher of the land, the most intelligent, wise sage there is, and I would come off as the village idiot because everything's spelled wrong.
Charter.
Yep.
Your charter would have all
my
kinds
charter
of
would have lots of problems.
I hate that. I hate that.
You've been passed
on to a trademark at this point,
exactly.
See, I don't know if my big problem keeping me out of right now is time. I don't have a lot of free time. But that aside, John, I got to say, seriously, my best online game experiences ever was the Battletech Muse and the Shadowrun Mush, which were both text-based MUD-like games. I had so much good RP in them. The worlds were so complicated. The things you could do were so diverse.
That's what I'm talking
about, loved
baby.
Them. The thing that got my... It's just, I don't have the time right now to play one. Otherwise, I'd be in on that because, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
It's sad. Right. It's sad that all died because you don't find as many of those games anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, it used to be.
Yeah, there's basically two, and I'm on one of them.
I mean, it used to be that was the way people entertained themselves, in college and such. If you were into dorky stuff, there were huge lists of different online games, and like Muses and Muds and Mushes and Mucks and Moos and whatever else there was.
Yeah,
and now they're all gone.
Yeah. John, throw out a plug. What game are you talking about?
Game? Oh, the game is called Dragon Realms. It's produced by Simiotronics, which is a local company based in St. Charles, which is exactly where we are. It's at www.play.net.
Play.net.
Play.net.
Okay.
I like it.
And it's a 4-pay text-based role-playing MUD where they have an ongoing, persistent world, and they actually have GM interaction and events and such.
Yep. GM-fueled...
And the players...
Yeah, there's another one that I miss from... This is another big one I miss from the Mushes and MUDs and such, is the world changes.
Yeah, stuff actually happens.
Yeah, in stuff changes.
In his game, too, the players just don't... I'm level one fighter. They play like the lords and ladies, and they make political decisions. That
I am an ambassador appointed by one court sent to another, and it's actually for real. These guys are played by GMs. It's not just Thrall sitting there in Orgrimmar saying, "Hello, warrior of the horde.
Staring
right click on me for a quest."
Looking the wrong direction, giving the same quest to everyone that walks by.
Yeah, Loktar, buddy. slash camp.
I don't get that. I mean, when you have
I like it for what it is.
I do too. Yeah. But I just don't get when I'm paying $15 a month why you can't have a little bit more personalization experience. You've got the money.
Because there's 2 million people who play it.
Yeah, you can't
do it. You know what? But here's the thing. When you've got that kind of money coming in.
$15 times 2 million.
Exactly.
$2 million.
You can afford to hire more GMs.
How the hell can you regulate them, though? I mean, douchebag Magoo gets hired on to takes over Thrall and says, "Ha ha, penis!" You know, Thrall is running down.
And he's beating on the child.
He starts cloning Ragnaroses in Stormwind. He's like, "You alliance,
you try to attack him." He's like,
"John, here's the thing. You're right. As it stands right now, there is no good model for managing. There is no good model for managing a large, dynamic world with 2 million people in it. And this goes back to my point. Nobody's innovating.
Everyone
sat down and said, "You know what? With everything we know today, it's not possible." No one has sat down and said, "You know what? We've got it has like 6 million players."
Worldwide, I think so.
Million players times $15 a month.
2 million Americans.
Here's our base budget. You know, I don't realize a lot of that goes to operation and such, but the point is some X percentage of that is our base budget. Let's do something new. Yeah. How can we make a world that is dynamically affected by all these millions of people?
I think that Blizzard, now this is going to be my defensive wow, I think that Blizzard is innovating within the framework.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff.
I'll agree with that. Blizzard's innovating within the box.
Within the box. They're not breaking the mold by far. But And as far as MMOs out there, I think WoW is the best.
And for a long time, I played both EQ2 and WoW, right. And I watched EQ2 mimic WoW.
Oh, yeah, I saw that happen too.
You know, WoW had Griffin
the
Towers.
The rest bar showed up one day in EQ2.
The Griffin Towers were not originally in EQ2. And they literally added Griffin Towers.
I have heard the reviews I've read of the Warhammer MMO and another one that's coming out alongside it that I do not remember the name of right now. All the reviewers are saying, hey, WoW, these are really great. WoW knockoffs. So if you're tired of WoW but want to play a WoW knockoff, you should get these. So, yeah. There you go.
Are we done with this?
I think we need more bonus episodes on video games. We apparently have a lot of opinions.
I've been telling you from the beginning, we need to integrate video game discussion within the normal podcast. Not video game advice, but video game banter.
I think this,
if we want to do the video game thing, I think this would have to be its own podcast.
I think so, too.
And secondly, that podcast market is flooded.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's and why I think that we should just...
We can't compete with voices like Penny Arcade.
No, you can't.
Well,
I think maybe like a monthly editorial
I don't know.
Well, like I said, my view, Chad at FearTheBoot.com, is that in the
this is what you're gonna get the email about.
Is injecting into the banter, not taking over the banter or the advice, but just injecting things about video games, movies, books,
maybe,
you know, and you not know, make it a
that,
big
that's
focus.
A good question. If you're one of the three people who listens to these bonus episodes, I realize the counts are kind of hard to read, but actually by our estimates, even the bonus episodes are several hundred people, but if you're...
What are you people doing?
Go outside!
Get a job! Go outside!
My TIE Fighter Earthbound game!
Do you guys want us to talk about other stuff? I mean, related things?
DS TIE Bomber.
Because we just talk about RPGs. Do you guys want us to talk about other stuff, like video games and
movies?
Yeah,
drop us a line on the forums.
What's that other podcast show? It's the comic book one, where they do comic books and more.
Fistful of Comics. I can even think of JJ's name. I couldn't think of his podcast.
They do that too. Fistful of Comics, if you listen to their podcast,
great guys, by the way, great
oh
guys.
Yeah, and they do a really good cast.
Vague Sergio Leone reference within the title gets thumbs up from John.
So Sergio Leone,
yes,
you said Leone,
yeah.
Okay. Fight.
Hey, babe, I got the Italian.
So do I. You're
both butt ugly. Don't worry about it.
So anyway, those guys, they are primary Fistful of Comics, obviously a comic
podcast. Right, obviously about comics.
But they also talk a lot about role-playing games. They talk a lot about books and video games and stuff, too.
Hmm.
So, and that's why they even make a joke out of it. They're like, welcome to Fistful of Comics and more, because they start talking about more stuff.
Oh, maybe we should diversify.
But let's find out what they want to hear.
Yeah. Write us in. Give us an opinion. If you don't care, don't write in, and we'll do
it. They want to hear dick and fart jokes.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Okay, we'll see you guys next time.